All right, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We've had a great week of preaching, and we've heard a lot of Bible. We've traveled through this Bible all week long. Fact is, you know, when you're a pastor and you finish tent meeting, you wonder, what in the world am I going to preach? These guys preach everything there is, you know. But God burdened me about this particular subject and this message tonight. Last week, a lot was said about the filling of the Holy Spirit. A lot was said about living in the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot was said about yielding yourself to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I want to kind of follow up on that a little bit tonight and talk to you just for a little while about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is probably one of the most misunderstood commands in the Bible and ignored commands in the Bible. Now, Brother Schindler brought out several times, this is not a suggestion from God. This is not a you should do. This is a command. We call them divine imperatives. There's 300 and some in the New Testament. Divine imperatives. Imperative means command. God doesn't say, hey, it'd be nice if you were filled with the Spirit. He doesn't say, you know, I really would like you to be filled with the Spirit. God says, as a believer, I command you to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5. Verse 18. So tonight we're going to talk about that. I thought about this. So many people don't understand. So many people are afraid of the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Pentecostals we know have just a total misconception about what filling of the Spirit is. We'll talk about that a little bit. But tonight, I just want to give you some things about this filling of the Holy Spirit. And you don't need to be afraid of it. It's a wonderful thing when you realize I'm walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And He wants that in every one of our lives. Let's pray. Father, bless this time we're going to spend together. We know this is a very important subject for every believer. God, help us to yield ourselves to You. Help us to hear You tonight as You speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we read the Bible, there are a lot of things it reveals to us about the Holy Spirit. Several things that it reveals to us that the Holy Spirit does to believers. And then it tells us several things the Holy Spirit does in believers. And then we can find several things the Holy Spirit does for believers. He, the Holy Spirit, by the way, don't ever forget, Brother Schindler reminded us of this, He is a person. We somehow get this idea He's a nebulous, you know. No, He's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's as much a person as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that. He, through His conviction, number one, draws us to Christ. In other words, you wouldn't be saved tonight if the Holy Spirit didn't work in your heart and draw you to come to Christ. See, you didn't get up one day and say, I think I'll get saved. No. Something happened in your heart to bring you to that place where you realize I need to get saved. And so we understand that's the Holy Spirit. He convicts us. And then when we get saved, He regenerates us. Over there in Titus, it talks about by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That means a new life, regenerate. A new creature is born when we get saved. Colossians or 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Listen, you're not the old man you used to be. You're not the old woman you used to be. You're a new creature in Christ. And that happened because of the Holy Spirit. Then the Bible says, not only does He draw us, not only is He the agent of our regeneration, but He also baptizes us, the Bible says, into the body of Christ. At the instant of our salvation, He immerses us in the body of Christ. And then we know from the Scripture that He then indwells us for the rest of our lives. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved into your heart and your life, and He will never leave you, never forsake you. Everybody else might turn their back on you. You might feel sometimes I'm alone. There's nobody around me. There's nobody with me. I'm just by myself. You're never by yourself. He's always there. These are all things He does for us. And then, because He's in us, now He's there to guide us and direct us on how to live the Christian life. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter that He can guide you into all truth. Listen, Jesus knew that we could never live the Christian life on our own. If you're trying to live the Christian life on your own, you're a miserable failure. You say, I don't like that. I'm just being honest. Because we've all tried and we know we fall flat on our face. It's a life we can't live in our power. But Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, to give us the ability to live for Him. He guides us in our lives for the Lord. And then we know He teaches us truths. The truths of God's Word. Listen, when you read God's Word, that's why it speaks to you. That's why you see things in the Bible you never saw when you were unsaved. You ever have somebody who's unsaved, they tell you, oh, I tried to read the Bible, didn't get anything out of it. You know why? They don't have the Holy Spirit. See, when you read, you have the very author of the book inside of you. And He brings things to your mind and to your heart. And then, He not only teaches us the truth of God's Word, but He enables us to discern true doctrine and false doctrine. Have you ever been around somebody who's preaching false doctrine? How many of you have ever heard somebody preaching false doctrine? And all of a sudden, that little voice goes off inside of you and says, that's not right. You know, I'll be riding down the road, and every once in a while I'll put the non-Christian radio, and well, it's supposed to be Christian radio on, and some yahoo will be on there preaching, he'll say something that's not right, and I want to punch my radio. I say, that's not right. Who told me that? How did I know that? Holy Spirit was in here saying, hey, that's not right. So He does all that. Now, in Ephesians 5:18, we find something, not that the Holy Spirit does for us, but something we're commanded to do with the Holy Spirit. We are to be filled with Him. Now, I put that big yield sign up there because that's what being filled with the Spirit is. Brother Schindler spoke. I think Brother Renzi touched on. Listen, we never get more of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have children? Okay, you all have children. You got Logan over there. When you got Logan, did you get part of him and then get part later? Can you get more Logan? When Logan came, you got all of him you're ever going to get. Now, he'll get a little bigger and things of that nature, but you ain't getting no more of Logan. You didn't get an ear and an arm and a leg, and then the rest comes later. Listen, when you got the Holy Spirit, you got all of Him you're ever going to get. There's no more to get. What's this being filled? How do I get being filled? Is He gets more of you. You yield to Him. I put that up here, and Pastor Mike was setting it up, and the big yield thing was up there with no words, just the yield. He said, people in Pennsylvania don't know how to do that. Huh? If you're driving an automobile, you know what I'm talking about. Sadly, a lot of Christians don't know how to do that. That's what the Christian life is all about. I die to me, I live to God, And I do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. I give myself to Him. Oh, so many believers, sadly, fail in this area. They think, well, it's optional, you know. That being filled with the Spirit, that's for the missionaries and the evangelists and the preachers and, you know, maybe Sunday school teachers. That's not for every. No, it's for everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. If you're a believer, you are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Now, just as amazing, these things that I've mentioned about the Holy Spirit, the majority of believers, sadly, are ignorant of what being filled with the Spirit really is. And I want to talk to you about that. You know, we've had these Pentecostals and some of these crazy groups, you know. Some people think you got to handle snakes to be Spirit-filled. I'm going to die and go to heaven and never be Spirit-filled because I ain't playing with no snake. Snake comes in the room, Pastor Gilmore leaves. Got no room for those critters. But you see those people down in the hills, you know, and they the tip-off is when the service is going on and somebody comes in with a box, a wooden box. One fella said he was in a service like that, and he saw this box come in. He said the guy next to him, what are they doing? He said, well, that's the snakes. He said, we're fixing to handle the snakes. And he looked around. He said, where do you think they want a new door in this building? He's getting out of there, and I would too. We've had, in the past few years, you may have heard about, there have been these people who declared they had a revival. One of them, it was the laughing revival. Guy said he was preaching. All of a sudden, everybody starts laughing and just laughing and laughing hysterically. It was a moving of the Holy Spirit. Why would the Holy Spirit cause people just to... And another one is barking like dogs. I'm serious. The guy said revival broke out. I was preaching. All of a sudden, people started barking like dogs. Listen, don't even start barking at me. I might get you a flea collar. But people said, that's being filled with the Spirit. People got filled with the Spirit, and they had laugh, barking like dogs, doing crazy. Down south, you know, they used to call them holy rollers. When I was in Jacksonville, Florida, we had a place called Paxton Revival Center. And they had services every night, and it was so bad. People would come and actually roll in the aisle. Yeah, they said they were getting revival. They would actually have people with sheets when the women came, and they would throw sheets over them for modesty because they're down there rolling on the floor having revival. Getting filled with the Spirit. That's not getting filled with the Spirit. That's nonsense. But we do need to be filled with the Spirit. So let's talk about it a little bit. Number one, I want you to see the chronology of being filled with the Spirit. Here's all that means. When you get saved, you got the Spirit. It begins at salvation. If you're not saved here tonight, you cannot have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Say it again. If you're not saved here tonight, you cannot have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Now, He may be working on your heart to bring you to Christ. He may be convicting you that you need to get saved. But you're not going to have Him living in you until you come to Christ. That's the first step. Ye must be born again. And then it takes place after salvation. And then notice this. It's a continuous thing that's called for us to have. See, that commandment to be filled with the Spirit, it don't mean get filled once and that's enough. The grammar that's involved there indicates it's to be a continuous action. Day in, day out, we all are commanded to live in the of the Holy Spirit. You with me? You're looking at me funny. Don't look at me that way. This is what God said. Ongoing. Well, I got filled with the Spirit yesterday. Boy, I was walking in the Spirit yesterday. What happened today? How many of you have ever made this statement? Well, I just got in the flesh. Be honest. You know, maybe you railed on somebody, or you just did somebody or whatever, and you said, "Oh, I just got in the flesh." You know what that means? That means you quit living in the Spirit. It means you stepped away from being full of the Holy Spirit and you let the flesh control you. It's to be an ongoing thing. All day, every day, I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit. So number one, the chronology. When I get saved, I get Him in me, and then I'm to continually walk in His power, live in His power. Then the second thing is the considerations of Holy Spirit filling. You see, this idea of being filled with means to be possessed by. Possessed with. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, verse 26. Jesus had just done some miracles. And it says there in verse 26, "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" What do you think that "filled with fear" means? They were filled with this fear, and it now took control of them. They were acting in fear. Fear was calling the shots. They were possessed by the fear. Now, we get over to the New Testament here in Ephesians 5, and that "filled with the Spirit" has that same idea. To be controlled, to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. These folks were filled with fear. Fear possessed them. Their attitudes, their actions were governed, how? By their fear. To be filled means to be controlled by. I said it's not getting more of Him, it's allowing Him to control us, to call the shots. Watch this. When I'm in control, you listening? When I'm in control of my life, when you're in control of your life, you are a carnal Christian. I don't know about you, but I don't like that term. I don't want anybody ever to say, "Well, he's a carnal Christian." All that carnal means flesh. You ever have chili con carne? It means chili with meat, flesh. So when I'm a carnal Christian, that means I'm living in my power. I'm doing things my way. I'm not paying any attention to the Holy Spirit. Now, when I'm living in the power of the Holy Spirit, now I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. I'm not carnal. I'm not living by the flesh. I'm living by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17, Paul tells us to walk in the Spirit, and he says we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. See, when we're walking in the Spirit, the flesh is not controlling us. If we're not walking in the Spirit, the flesh is calling the shots. We need to understand that. Being filled means to yield ourselves to Him. And so every believer must constantly be either yielding to his flesh, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Over in Romans 6, 12 and 13, Paul admonishes us not to yield to the lusts of the flesh. So it comes down to this. I have to make a conscious choice. Am I going to yield myself to the Spirit, or am I going to yield myself to my flesh? You have to make a conscious choice. Am I going to yield myself to the Holy Spirit, or am I going to yield myself to my flesh? Which one am I going to follow? Romans 7, Paul talks about the battle. That old nature, that new nature, that's the battle. Which one am I going to listen to? Which one am I going to obey? If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, I'm going to be walking according to what He's saying. I'm going to be listening to what He says. I'm not going to go when He says don't go there. I'm not going to go. When He says don't look at that, I'm not going to look at that. When He says don't listen to that, I'm not going to listen to that. When He says go witness to that person, I'm going to go witness to that person. On and on we can go. I'm listening to Him. Sadly, too many of us are over here listening to our flesh. You don't have to go to church. You're tired. Oh, you can go there. It won't hurt you. I can go there. Hey, Brother Schindler really nailed this one. I have liberty. You don't have liberty to sin. You don't have liberty to live in the flesh. That's not the liberty God gave you. God gave you liberty so you can live in the Spirit. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. I like it. Amen. Let's do more of it. See, so it comes down to this. I have to yield, consciously yield my will to the Lord. It's not going to happen by accident. So then we see this. Then we see the conditions of Holy Spirit filling. Well, how in the world do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, here's some things you need to do if you want to be a Spirit-filled Christian. Number one, separate from sin. Boy, everybody knows that, don't we? That's a no-brainer. You're not going to be filled with the Spirit if you've got a bunch of sin in your life. It's not going to happen. So, listen, Brother Schindler hit on this. He said, you want to be filled with the Spirit? You need to really ask God to show you what sin you have. Do you know we hide sin from ourselves? We do. We don't want to admit that I've got sin in my life. We like to think, hey, we're doing pretty good because, man, I gave up the liquor, I gave up the tobacco, I don't look at that pornography anymore, you know, and wait a minute. What about the sins of the heart? Gossip, wrath, anger, clamor, evil thoughts. Listen, I doubt that any one of us can live for 24 hours and never sin one time. I ask the Lord all the time, Lord, bring before my eyes my sin that I'm not acknowledging. Because I want to be clean. Separate from sin. You want to be Spirit-filled? Get your life cleaned up. Number two, have a strong devotional life. Oh, we heard about that this week over and over. Read your Bible. Pray. Set up a time to get with God. I like Brother Brian's testimony. He set up a time. He had to get up a little earlier. Or maybe you have to stay up a little later. Whatever it is that the sacrifice you have to make to get alone with God every day. Spend some time in His Word. Spend some time in prayer. Listen, if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to be a Spirit-filled Christian. It's that simple. And then we need to have a proper mental focus. We need to have a proper attitude, a thanksgiving and praise, a proper feeding on the Word of God, a proper prayer life. Then, number three, we need to have a strict fellowship with Christ. You say, isn't that what you were just talking? No, I'm talking more about walking with Him. Walking with Him. Hand in hand with the Savior. And then we need to have that stringent denial of self. Dead to self. Paul says, I die daily. I said many times, Paul wasn't saying that every day he goes and lays down in a casket and dies. He's saying, I die to Paul every day so I can live for Jesus. See, you can't live for both. You can't live for you and live for Jesus too. If you're going to live for the Lord, you've got to die to you. Your will isn't important. What I think really isn't important. See, a lot of believers, they say, well, I just think, there's your problem. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be thinkers. Too many are stinkers. We should be thinkers. But we need to understand, when it comes to the Word of God, it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what does God say. So we need to be yielded to that and stringent in a denial of ourself. Live for Him. By the way, Paul said something interesting in Romans 13, verse 14. He said, make not provision for the flesh. In other words, don't make provision for sin in your life. Over there in Acts, one of the places Paul went, he preached, and I think it was Ephesus. And the people got under conviction of the Holy Spirit. You ever been there? And the Bible says, you know, they were worshiping idols and all this kind of stuff. And they went home and they got all their idol worshiping stuff and all the stuff that was against God. And they brought it and burned it. What is it you have that needs to be burned? See, they were eliminating provision for the flesh. Hey, listen, I don't know what kind of music you have in your house. I don't know what kind of videos you have in your house. I don't know what kind of books you have in your house. I don't know what kind of clothes you have in your house. I don't know anything of that. But I know this. There are many Christians who have things in their home that are provision for the flesh. You need to get rid of it. Yeah? Listen, I don't preach against television. I don't find much on a television worth watching, to be honest with you. I try to watch the news to find out what's going on in the world, always with the idea they're not going to tell me the truth. But, I'm trying to get an idea of what's going on. And I like to watch some sports. I like football. Really, that's about the only one I watch anymore. Maybe the World Series when it's on. But on the television, there's not a whole lot to watch. But there's a whole lot not to watch. You know, hey, maybe you need to cut the cable. I don't know. Whatever. But if it's something that hinders you from walking in the Spirit, you're making provision for the flesh having it around you. Maybe you need to clean out your wardrobe. Maybe you got a bunch of worldly clothes. Huh? Clean out your library. Whatever it is. Then notice this. The consequences of Holy Spirit filling. Well, what's going to happen when I'm Holy Spirit filled? One of the greatest things about being filled with the Holy Spirit is you will enjoy your Christian life. Did you hear what I just said? You will enjoy your Christian life. You say, well, isn't that how it's supposed to be? Yeah, but here's what I find. A lot of people are enduring their Christian life. See, when you're walking with the Spirit, the Christian life's exciting. And it's rewarding. My wife's testimony. We just want to serve God. He's rewarded us so much. We can't thank Him enough. It's a rewarding life. And you know one of the most rewarding things about the Christian life? You can affect other people's lives. I'm just overtaken with that God has allowed me to influence other people's lives. I think that's the greatest blessing. I don't get over that. That's a privilege. It's exciting. It's rewarding. It's satisfying. It's joyful. I've told you, listen, I've had people who were walking with God and they got carnal and they got away from the Lord. And I've had them come to me and say, I can't enjoy the things of the world anymore. Nothing is satisfying. Nothing is fun. Why? Because you're living in the world, but they're God's. I put it this way. You're a sheep when you come to Christ. You become one of God's sheep. When you try to live with the world and you're a sheep, you're trying to live with the wolves. Sheep and wolves can't run together. People have come, I don't enjoy any of it. I went back to what I used to do. It's no fun anymore. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they're miserable. But you find me somebody who's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You find me somebody who's living in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to find you a joyful Christian. Hey, you're walking around like this all the time? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Maybe you need some Spirit filling. And then you're filled with the Spirit. You experience the peace that passes all understanding. Hey, when you're a Spirit-filled believer, no matter what comes in your life, you still have peace. Hey, that doesn't mean you like it. I've been in the hospital bed. I don't like it. I'm in a place, I don't even like to visit hospitals anymore. I'm afraid they're going to keep me. But I found this out. I can be in the hospital bed and still have peace. Because this is where God has me. I may not understand why. I may not like it, but I have peace in my heart. I'm right where God wants me to be. Listen, when you're in a down place, when you're in a troubled place, when you're in a hard place, when things aren't going your way and your heart's aching, you can still have peace knowing my Father's in control and I'm walking in the Holy Spirit and this is right where He has me right now. But if you're not walking in the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have that kind of peace. When you get in a down place, when you get in a hard place, when you get in a hospital bed, when you get to where things are tough, you're going to be moaning and groaning and belly aching and just thinking everything's out of control. You remember Paul and Silas? Midnight, naked, down in a cold dungeon, chained to the wall. And the Bible says at midnight they were singing and praising God. Why could they do that? Because they were Spirit-filled men. And then we experience the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know that little voice that talks to you? That little voice that says, hey, don't do that. Or that little voice that says, yeah, you need to do that. You hear him down here? You know, if you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, he can keep you out of a whole lot of trouble. I learned a long time. I get these wonderful revelations. I figured out that God knows more than I know. God knows what's around the next bend. I don't. So if I listen to Him, He can guide me because He already knows what's... Do you know He's already in tomorrow? Did you get that? We're not there yet, but He is. He knows everything's coming our way. And then one final thing. By the way, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have Holy Spirit power. Now, if you want to believe that means you can pick up snakes and drink poison and do it, have at it, man. You can have Holy Spirit power. And I'm not talking about that kind of power. I'm talking about you can have power to affect other people. You can have power to bring people to Christ. You can have influence on other people when you're Holy Spirit filled. One final thing, the candidates. The candidates. Who can be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, it's a command to every believer. That means you. You. Mike, you've only been saved a couple weeks, but you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Logan, how old are you? 10? You're saved, right? He can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Harry, forget Harry. Harry, how old are you? Yeah. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter what color you are, where you came from, what country you came from. Nothing matters in that. If you're saved, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're a candidate. Notice the word. Candidate. See, that means it's available, but it's a choice you have to make. Do you want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? I do. See, what I found is most people, not all people, but most people who's ever lived in the power of the Holy Spirit don't ever want to live without it. Yeah. You know, you've tasted, taste and see the Lord is good. You've tasted and you say, man, I don't want to lose this. Have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? You ever walked with Him? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Listen, tonight I'm speaking.